Welcome to episode 1255 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This week we have been exploring parables of Jesus, recorded in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. So far, we have encountered a farmer who sowed seeds on different kinds of soil, a man who sowed seeds of wheat in a field, but while he was sleeping, an enemy sowed tares among the wheat, a tiny mustard seed that grows into a sheltering tree, and the hidden power of a sprinkle of yeast in 60 pounds of flour. Today we explore the parable of the hidden treasure.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
A man goes about his day, perhaps working, walking, or wandering, and stumbles upon a treasure buried beneath the earth. It wasn't his to begin with. He didn't earn it. He didn't even know to look for it. Yet there it was, waiting to be discovered. That's how Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven. Not as something you build or buy into with clout or credit, but as something discovered, unexpected, and glorious. This parable is shockingly short, just one verse, but it is explosive in implication. It captures the essence of what it means to encounter the gospel of Jesus, to find something so valuable, so beautiful, so surpassing in worth, that it reorders everything. All priorities shift, all attachments loosen. Nothing else compares. The parable is not about morality or behavior. It's not about religious rituals or obligations. It's about the incomparable worth of knowing Christ and living in his kingdom. And once you've glimpsed it, nothing else satisfies. Jesus begins, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field." This isn't the only parable in Matthew 13 where Jesus talks about hiddenness. In fact, it's a recurring theme throughout his teaching. Why? Because God's kingdom is not always obvious. It doesn't arrive with political fanfare or flashy branding. It's not imposed through violence or visibility. It is subtle, subversive, and spiritual. And because of that, it can be easily missed. Like treasure buried beneath layers of earth, the presence and reign of God is often veiled from the eyes of the proud or distracted. It takes spiritual hunger, or at least an open heart, to discover it. Some stumble upon it, like this man in the field. Others, like the merchant in the very next parable, seek it intentionally. But either way, when it is found, the response is the same: joy and total surrender. Jesus continues, "When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." This is one of the most radical elements of the parable. The man doesn't just feel obligated to buy the field. He's not burdened by the cost. He is thrilled to sell everything he owns because he knows what he's gaining is infinitely more valuable. This turns religion on its head. Many people think Christianity is about giving up all the fun stuff in life to be miserable and holy. But Jesus says the opposite. True discipleship is joyful surrender, not begrudging obedience. The man gives up everything, yes, but he does it gladly. This is not a story about self-denial for its own sake. It is about exchange, giving up lesser things to gain the greatest thing. The Apostle Paul echoes this in Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8.
"But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things."
This is the invitation of the gospel: not to sacrifice joy, but to find real joy. A joy that surpasses the temporary pleasures of wealth, fame, success, or control. It's worth noting that this parable does speak of a cost. The man sold all he had. The kingdom may be free in the sense that it cannot be earned, but it will cost you everything. That's the paradox of grace. It is both gift and demand. You can't buy your way into the kingdom, but once you've discovered it, you cannot enter without letting go of what previously defined you. Jesus makes this clear in Luke 14, verse 33.
"In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples."
Does this mean we literally sell all our possessions? Not necessarily. but it does mean that Jesus becomes the organizing center of our lives. Nothing else, not money, relationships, comfort, or status, can compete for that central spot. The cost is real, but so is the treasure. And in the light of the treasure, the cost no longer feels like a loss. It feels like freedom. Let's get deep. Now let's look beneath the surface. What does this parable tell us, not just about the kingdom, but about the king? Jesus reveals the hidden kingdom. Jesus is not just the teacher of parables. He is the embodiment of the treasure. He is the pearl of great price, the bread of life, the light of the world. He came not as a political conqueror or celebrity rabbi, but as a poor carpenter from Nazareth, hidden in plain sight. The kingdom of God was hidden in the person of Jesus, and only those with spiritual eyes could see it. He said,
"The kingdom of God is in your midst."
And yet many missed it. Why? Because they were looking for power, spectacle, or control, not a savior who would die on a cross. Jesus reveals that the greatest things in life are often hidden and must be spiritually discerned. Jesus models joyful surrender. Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. This is the same joy that moved the man in the parable to sell everything. Jesus gave up everything, his heavenly glory, his rights, even his life, because he had his eyes on the treasure, you, redemption, restoration, the reign of God on earth. Jesus doesn't just tell us how to live. He models the way of the kingdom through joyful sacrifice. Jesus calls us to a new value system. This parable isn't about morality. It's about value. What do you treasure? What are you willing to lose in order to gain something greater? Jesus challenges every other system, whether it's consumerism, nationalism, ego, or even religion, and invites us into a new economy, where love reigns, where grace abounds, and where surrender is the pathway to freedom. Jesus is not asking for part of your heart. He's not content to be your Saturday or Sunday morning habit or your emergency hotline. He's the treasure in the field, and he's worth everything. If the treasure is the kingdom, and the kingdom is centered on Christ, how do we live this parable today? Let us suggest four ways. 1. Pursue the treasure. Don't settle for a shallow understanding of Jesus. Go deeper. Seek him in prayer, in scripture, in community. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal more of the treasure. You may have stumbled upon it once, but keep digging. Keep growing in your knowledge of the riches of God's grace. 2. Loosen your grip on the lesser priorities that may be holding you back. Take inventory of your life. What are you clinging to that keeps you from full surrender? A relationship? A dream? A comfort zone? A need for control? Jesus is not asking you to lose what is good. He's inviting you to gain what is better. 3. Choose joyful surrender. Let go, not out of guilt, but out of joy. Trust that what God offers you is far better than what you give up. Practice daily surrender. Begin your morning by saying, "God, all I have is yours. My time, my resources, my decisions. Take them and use them for your glory." 4. Simply live differently. If you've found the treasure, your life should look different. Let your priorities, your spending, your relationships, and your purpose reflect the surpassing worth of Christ. Live like someone who's already rich in the things that matter. The man in the parable wasn't noble or impressive. He just found something worth more than everything else. That's the gospel. That's the invitation. You don't have to be good enough, wise enough, or spiritual enough. You just need to recognize the treasure when you see it, and be willing to let go of what's in your hands so you can take hold of it. If you're holding on to garbage, you can't fill your hands with gold. The kingdom of heaven isn't for the worthy, it's for the willing. Father, thank you for revealing your kingdom to us like a treasure in a field. Forgive us for settling for lesser things when you offer us the richness of your grace. Give us eyes to see the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, and hearts ready to surrender all in joyful response. May our lives be shaped by your kingdom, and may we treasure you above all else. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.